I'm Jay Moran.
I'm Bridget Jaipal Valenza.
I'm Thomas O'Neill White.
We need to get together and let our voices be heard.
This is What's Next. A dedicated hour to have important conversations about the issues facing the marginalized and underrepresented communities of Western New York and Southern Ontario.
If we're going to have some real healing, we've got to have space to tell some uncomfortable truth.
What's Next continues our mission to discuss race,
equity,
and the common concerns of Buffalo's East Side and beyond.
In the suburban area, everywhere, we must work and teach our children.
Welcome to What's Next. Today, returning guests with us, the co-owners of Walking Through Solutions, as we talk about mental health with Deja Middlebrook. Deja, good to see you again.
Thank you for having us.
And also LaShawn Davis. Hi, LaShawn.
Hi, thanks for having us here.
Oh, it's great to have you back as well. And I'm really curious because we did talk about this a little bit the last time, but I want to get into it. We got a chance to get into it a lot more this time around. You hold these four-week couples boot camps.
Yes.
All right. Let's talk about what exactly is entailed in a boot camp for couples.
Okay, I'll start because the couples boot camp is really like my baby.
All right.
With our business.
How'd you come up with the idea?
Just watching TV, watching my friends obsess about these like dating shows. And it's so many dating shows on TV and people really get invested. And I'm like, you know, people don't, you know, like to do couples counseling. It's not like the trendy thing to do. So I was like, well, why can't I make it something that is in Buffalo and something that people can actually participate in using my social work background, but also making it engaging and not just like a seminar where you're sitting there and I'm just throwing information at you. So that's how we created it.
And I think another portion of it was we listen to people who are in relationships and the relationships don't work and they have different expectations. So we drew up this outline of why people don't manage their relationships. So we hit different topics that is very important that people complain about. So we combined all that together and Deja was like, let's do a 4-week boot camp.
4 weeks of it. All right. So as we talk about it, I always have the sense that it's easier to say, hey, I'm going to go to a therapist. I'm going to go to someone who's going to give me some counseling. But to say I'm going to go with it with my partner, my spouse, is a whole other thing. So how do you come about the people who decide to take this step and be part of these boot camps? Where do they come from?
All over.
Yeah?
People find us.
Mm-hmm. They're finding you.
Right. I think when we did our first initial one, we had a lot of good feedback. So when we post about information about it, a lot of people we run across who are dealing with stress management, or when we present on dealing with anxiety and depression, we talk about our boot camp and people are like, what's that about? Oh, that sounds good because I think I'm stressed because of me and my partner aren't getting along. And so conversation comes up and we just go from there.
Wow. Yeah. But so it doesn't matter where they could be from anywhere, but they seem to find their way here and they show up agreeable, both partners agreeable, ready to do this. Is that what we see or not necessarily?
It's voluntary. but you can. So up front, we pre-screen all the couples because we want to make sure for safety purposes that we don't have any domestic violence concerns, that situation. Then as far as like just so they understand really what to expect and if they're on board with the process. Because you only get what you put into it.
Certainly.
So we go over that, and then we're at the next step. Once we accept them, they pay up front. So that is their showing their commitment as well, because it's like, is this something that you guys both want and that you financially want to invest in your relationship? And once people take that step, they tend to be there, whether they're happy, you know, you go through, it's so intimate and so emotional. It's an emotional ride. So like you can see the ups and downs as you're interacting with the couples and the different workshops, depending on the topics that may hit a nerve for people. But they're invested. They invest their time. They show up and they interact with us.
Right. It's normally when we first started, it was females. Females like, oh, I'm bringing my partner. But this boot camp, we have five couples and two of the couples came initiated by the male.
Oh,
so that was, and it's more men out there, like when we do our stress management, that's saying, I need this, my part, we need to do this together. Because normally when we put it out there, the woman will call in and say, I'm going to try to get my husband or my boyfriend to come. But out of this boot camp, we have two of them that the men initiated it.
Okay. All right. Well, that's an interesting and encouraging sign, I would have to say. Mm-hmm. You mentioned about expect. What should someone expect or couples expect when they sign up for boot camp?
So they will expect, they get two private one-on-one sessions with both of us.
Okay.
So that's when we're going to dive into what are the challenges that you're facing? What do you want to gain from the boot camp? Tell us more about how do we get here? So that's the first session is how do we get here? The second session is how can we move forward? What tools do you need specifically that may not be only in the workshops? It may be more tailored to this is something that we like and this is like a specific, you know, area. So we do that in the one-on-one sessions. And then the group sessions, we talk about communication. We talked about trust and goal alignment. And that's like the starting stone because the goal alignment is like, do you have the same goals? And are we on the same path going into the same direction? And if you're not, that's the big one that people are like, we need to talk about this more in our private session.
Interesting.
And then the other ones are more like tools to help you get to those goals. Right. So vulnerability, conflict resolution, because you're not going to avoid conflict, but it's how can you resolve it? How can you get through it together? And then intimacy. Intimacy looks different for every couple. Mm-hmm. And like this cohort of our boot camp is different than the last one. So like intimacy
What's
came up a lot.
It? It's just that it's different because the couples bring different issues, different dynamics.
Yeah, we let them. So we have like case study examples that we can use to illustrate some of the topics that we're talking about. But we also invite people to share what they think is an issue in their relationship if they feel comfortable. And once they share, that is where the conversation goes. So intimacy is a big one that we talked about, but we were able to, you know, dive into what does that look like? Is it different for you versus your partner? What fuels you? What makes you feel good versus, you know, what is like something that doesn't really turn you on or, you know, get you excited?
Right. And we explained how intimacy is something that starts not just in the bedroom or in one-on-one. It leads up to it. So those were tools we were able to provide because we only accept our max is six couples. So this group of couples, they assume that intimacy was in the bedroom. And so we talked about how you lead up to it so that when you are one-on-one or you're alone, you're building intimacy throughout the day. So I think that was a better understanding. And a lot of them were like, you know, we're not connected this way. We're no longer intimate with each other. And so we had them explain what that meant for them.
Right.
And that's what took us different than last time, right? You think?
Yeah. So like I said, each couple, they bring their own experiences and dynamic to the group. And that's what we love because the couples can learn from each other and from us. We have couples that have been together for over 10 years, some that are newer couples, some that are older, some that are younger. So it just makes a nice, diverse group for discussions. And everyone has different perspectives. So that makes it even more fruitful. It's no wrong answer. But when people share their perspectives, we try to educate on, this sounds like you're saying this. This is what your partner may be hearing. This may be where you guys don't align.
Right. And I think our oldest couple is in their early 50s. And our youngest couple is in their
20s.
Late 20s.
Mm-hmm. Late 20s. Mm-hmm. This is one of those general questions, but do we find these are happy couples who are looking to build, or are they couples who are coming in maybe a little unhappy? Right? I know that the terms aren't all that specific, and it can be a little troubling, but I mean, how would you characterize?
I think it's a combination.
Okay.
Like we have some couples who are struggling, but then we also have some couples that are interested in getting married and they just want to go through the path of knowing how to build that relationship and what it may look like for the future.
Mm. And like, what is love? So we always start off like, love is like the floor. It's not the ceiling. You obviously love each other, but that doesn't mean that you're going to have a successful long-term relationship. So that's why we touch on these topics, because this is really what can get you through. Because the emotion of love, that comes, goes, you're going to love your partner, but you might not like them. So it may look different in different seasons. So we want to show, you know, it's not just the emotion. It's like, how do you show up for each other? What is really important for you guys? So they can see love is an action. And that's really how we develop our curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. Love is the floor, not the ceiling. I'll write that one down. All right, so let's go through some of the exercises, because some of these are really interesting how they work, and I'd love to hear more about the responses as we go through them. So let's go through perhaps maybe day one of a boot camp. What are we experiencing there?
Okay. For our beginning, we do the introduction.
Okay.
We have you share whatever you're comfortable. If you don't want to share and you just want to sit here and just participate, we're fine with that.
And I can imagine there are some people initially who are just like that, right?
Right. Okay. Right. Right. And we do different interaction. One of them is where we have a plexiglass, a clear black plexiglass, and everyone gets one. You and your partner get sticky notes and write on it and say,
what are your barriers to communication?
Right.
So with our communication workshop, this is where this activity falls in.
All right.
So what are the barriers to communication? I do mine. So that could be what's stopping me from communicating with you. And then there are other things that may be like, what is something that your partner does that stops you from talking? So it's a two-way street.
Right.
And then your partner does the same thing. And so once you hold my plexiglass up to my partner's plexiglass, now you see all these things, like all the sticky notes are covering the plexiglass. So something that was once clear and you could easily see through and communicate, you know, effectively through, now it's all these barriers and hurdles of how can we hear each other? How can we listen effectively? So that's what we start with. So then we can show, like, these are the issues that you guys identify as yourself. You're the expert of your own life.
Right.
And then how can we, with all the other workshops, I want you to chip away at each thing. How can we remove this barrier? Whether it's something that's just you, a you issue, or if something that you feel like your partner does that, you know, contributes to how you respond.
Yeah. Because with this bootcamp, we also teach you how to look at the problems or the concerns that you have within yourself. It's not just about what your partner is doing or how this is coming together. It helps you identify things you need to work on.
Your relationship is, you're a mirror of your partner. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes when people first come, they're like, oh, they're the problem.
Oh, yeah.
We're coming because of you. And then when we do these workshops, it's like you can see the shift in the atmosphere. They're like, oh, yeah, I do that. Mm-hmm. You know, I do need to work on this area. And it's
it comes that fast. Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Over time.
All right.
So you can see how people respond differently, and I'm more open to like, oh, how can I create a safe space for my partner? How can we develop rules for like when we have a conflict? How can we, like, what are our parameters on like our deal breakers? Maybe it's when you start yelling, what is my boundary? If you yell at me, I'm going to leave the room. And I'm going to take a minute to calm down. Or, you know, they come up with their own rules, but just how can we communicate effectively so that it's me and you versus the problem and not me versus you.
Right. And after our first one-on-one, we hear the back and forth and what's going on in the relationship or what their goals are. And after whoever initiated to come to the boot camp, after our first boot camp and we meet with them again one-on-one, the person that was maybe not so excited about coming is the one that's talking, is writing down notes. They're like, wow, I never looked at it this way. That really wants to put more energy in. So for me, I'm always excited after our second one-on-one because they're like, no, when you said I need to do this, I've been trying it. And it's just really exciting for me to see.
Yeah.
We give them homework. Learning
opportunities. Maybe I would have taken better care of my learning opportunities in high school if they called it that instead of homework. So I'm interested, though, about the barriers and those sticky notes, because I bet there's some pretty big things, but there might be some real small things. You do this at such and such a time, and I feel like I can't talk to you. Can you share some of those examples of some of those things that you've seen without, again, crossing that very delicate barrier into confidentiality? But I'll let you kind of gauge that for yourself.
I think one of them was, and probably in this, I think it was in both boot camps, but a lot of it, the small ones are, when I'm talking to you, I feel like I'm not being heard. You're scrolling on your phone or you shut down. So I think that's the small one, because although it appears that that person has shut down, they're still retaining the information. So I think the smallest thing pretty much is that they feel like they're not heard. And we give them tools. Like, if you feel like you're not being heard, you have to ask them, you know, are you hearing what I'm saying? Can you please acknowledge that you heard what I said? We don't have to talk about it now, but I feel like you heard me if you respond.
I agree. We talk about, like, some people process information, especially like highly emotional information, through talking, and some people do it through silence. And so you have to respect what your partner needs, and then your communication styles too. That comes into play. But respecting what your partner needs, they may need a 5-minute break, but they have to say, I need to take a walk. In 10 minutes, can we come back and finish this conversation? Because I'm getting a little, you know, frustrated, or this isn't going as planned. And then that way, you know what to expect, because otherwise it's like, if I shut down and I storm out of the room and you just opened up like your heart to me, now it just feels like you know, I didn't recognize that you even said anything that you said. So now you're feeling like, you know, naked. You're feeling like emotionally very vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And then for me, I may have heard everything you said, but I haven't acknowledged to you. So me storming off may be like, oh, maybe they don't agree or maybe they don't care. Right. But it may be them processing it.
Right.
And that's okay. But keeping each other, it's over communicating, it feels like at first, but it's just to keep each other, keep a pulse on each other. Mm-hmm. Okay, I need to take a 5-minute walk because I don't know what to say right now. And I said, it's okay to say, you know, thanks for sharing that. I don't know what to say.
Hmm. Right.
You know, it sounds like there's a lot of really favorable outcomes here. But before you get to the outcome, you got to go through a lot, I'm sure, of stuff and, yes, and reactions. I'm curious about those reactions. I mean, you know, are you seeing just people come, you know, like you said earlier, oh, I didn't realize I did that. Wow. Uh-huh. Or somebody who maybe just gets upset and mad, you know, there might be also that interpretation that you're accusing me of something that is not true. Mm-hmm. So do you have to see that kind of thing work through as well?
Yes, we see that as well. But it's normally in a one-on-one session. Okay. So they'll say, well, I feel like if there was infidelity in a relationship, they may talk about that's a huge thing, but it's not huge anymore because they've managed to still stay together. So I think that when that happens, the other partner, when they come together and they hear the tools, they're like, wow, you know, the reason why the infidelity may have come or anything may have come in this relationship is because we weren't on the same page.
I think to add on, this brings up like childhood trauma. We touch on that a lot because sometimes the things that we experience in our childhood and in our family of origin, it affects how we see the world. It affects how we engage with other people. And then how we receive love, how we receive love as a child shapes what we think love is supposed to look like. Mm-hmm. And everyone has their own experience. So it shapes it. But if you don't have these conversations of like, you know, when I was a child, this happened to me. And this is why I react this way in this situation. That can create an emotional bond. But it's also like if you don't tell your partner, they don't understand. They're making their own assumptions on why you're doing that or why you're distant in this way. Mm-hmm. So mostly the work that we do, like you said, it gets ugly before it gets better.
Okay.
And if you're willing to go through the mud to get to the root of, you know, where did this come from? Why is this an issue for me? Or why is this an issue in our relationship? Then you can be like, okay, I get that. I learned so much about you that I didn't know, even though these people sometimes known each other for, you know, 10 plus years, but right, you didn't know this part mm-hmm. of them. So that vulnerability comes in because you have to be able to say like, you know, I feel shame about this, but I'm sharing this with you. And then how can you receive the message from your partner when they share something that is like so close to their heart?
Right.
And so those things are emerging during these sessions. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Though, like those, and partner is saying, I had no idea.
Right.
Wow.
And a lot of it with the group session, they get to see when other people do share, they get to say, wow, it's not just us. We're not the only ones that went through this scenario.
Mm-hmm. So that is the benefit of the group session, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I would say, again, I would suspect that there's some reticence about, well, it's one thing to talk in front of the two of you with my partner. Right. It's another thing to talk in front of other partners.
Right.
Yep.
So they are learning from each other.
Right. And even if they don't share what actually happened in the group, when they hear somebody say, oh, yeah, we do have these arguments, or yeah, we do get distracted or don't spend as much time with each other as we should. And they'd be like, me too. You know, I didn't realize that.
And when they talk about their arguments, does one of the end products like a realization of how petty some things can be?
Yes, yes. A lot of times they'll hear it from another because we have like a lot of different interactions. So when they see the other couple say, no, because you do this or you do that, they pick up off of it and they be like, and seeing somebody else go through it, they realize it's really not that big. You know, it's kind of petty that we argue or get upset about this.
And some of these things can be avoided by just some of the tools that we give them. So like listening and communicating effectively, those are things that you do sometimes at work. You put on your customer service voice. You know what I'm saying? You speak gently to right. people at work. Then you get home and it's like your partner sometimes gets the worst version of you. And it's because it's a safe space.
I wish
space.
You quit describing my home life like, like that. But anyway.
And we all do it. But it's like you have to be mindful of like, no, this is my person. They chose me. Your partner chose you for you. Like your parents, they made you. Your friends, they choose you for you. They like you. But your partner, they're choosing you for mm-hmm. like the good, the bad, the ugly.
Right.
And I think we highlight it so that people can see like you both are here. So that means that you're both invested. Because you can be doing, it's on Saturday mornings. You can be doing, you could be sleeping. You could be doing whatever you want to do, but right. you're here in these sessions because this person matters to you.
Right. right.
And then we also talk about, you know, maybe this relationship is not, like our goal isn't to push the relationship. If you come up with these tools or your goals don't align with each other, we've had a couple who really have identified that, you know, we've got different goals for ourselves and it's not aligning.
It's hard to let go.
Right.
And it's hard to love somebody and say, this relationship isn't working for me. Because sometimes it is the repair. So that's why we do these workshops, these specific trust, communication, goal alignment, vulnerability, conflict resolution, intimacy. We touch on those topics because that's what makes it work. Mm-hmm. But if there are like foundational issues that are just, it's too far, I can't move past this, or I can't still be in a relationship with you because I'm too hurt. And sometimes couples take a break after they're like, you know what, these conversations were helpful and I got some closure. And then other times they're like, you know, we do want to work on this, but right. you're the experts. Like, we just give you the tools. You decide where you want to go.
Right. And even if they decide this isn't the relationship they want to be in all the way to the end, these are tools to build a friendship, to learn how to communicate. These are tools that you can actually use in other areas of your life, mm-hmm. but it helps them identify, communicate, and that this isn't working.
And I don't want to keep jumping ahead on some of these workshops and such, but we're talking about identifying goals. And I'm curious about how maybe even come about bringing that about. Are there tools and methods that you use to try to help people expand? I mean, because we were talking about goals. I'm not even sure if I could mention a goal that I would have that I would talk over with my spouse, I guess. What I'm saying is, like, I don't know if I even think in terms of goals. So I'm wondering if that's something that you have to help try to bring out.
Well, you have goals for yourself, right?
I got up this morning.
So most people think
I'm not like LaShawn and getting up at 5:30 and doing all yeah, sorts of stuff. I just drive to work.
I can't relate. Yeah. I can't relate to her energy.
Right.
I love that. I love it because right. I'm not a morning person.
Yeah, yeah.
But with goals, most times people have goals for themselves. But sure. how do our goals fit into each other?
Yeah.
Because you can't say, like, my goal is to move to Florida right. by, you know, next year. But your partner is like, I want to buy another house in Buffalo.
It's like, right.
that those two just don't fit.
Yeah.
Or maybe it can, but you have to be as specific as possible. So we do SMART goals, which is something that we do in academia, which is SMART is just an acronym for specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timely.
All right.
So we do that. Social work is very science-based, research-based. So that's what we do. We did that like in academia. But how mm-hmm. to apply that in your day-to-day lives is, you want to be as specific as possible, because if we both say, hey, we want to have another kid, but maybe you want to have another kid within 5 years and I want to have another kid this summer. You know, mm-hmm. it's
right.
like,
sure.
If you're not specific, it looks like it aligns, but it really doesn't.
Right. So I think they create their own goals, and we identify at the beginning your personal goals.
All right.
So it's like, I want to go to school, and the other person says, you know, I want a career. Well, we use my example because I was doing my bathroom. I wanted my bathroom done. And my husband said, let's save money. And I said, no, let's just pay for it and we'll figure it out. So our goals at that point were, we wanted the same endpoint,
sure.
but we wanted to go a different route. So we had to, and I do this even at home. We had to say, okay, so let's give ourselves a time frame. What's something, is this realistic for us? So it makes us align them together. Because most people want the same outcome, but it just looks different getting there.
And how can you support each other?
Mm-hmm.
That's a big one in your individual goals. And then as you have a goal together for like your relationship, it's how can we align? How can we be specific? How can we be on the same page? But also it's like, how can we do this together and be both invested?
Mm.
Right.
We are talking this morning on What's Next with LaShawn Davis and also Deja Middlebrook, the co-owners of Walking Through Solutions. I want to get back to the workshops, but before I do, just want to make a couple of acknowledgments, one of which, your business became a certified minority and women-owned business.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
What was that process like?
It was it's a process. It's a lot of paperwork process.
I bet.
But I think it really helped doing that paperwork because it kept everything in order. And then once everything was approved, it was real exciting because you do have to gather a lot of information and keep everything in order.
Right. I mean, but it does open up perhaps some opportunities, you think, for your Your group, yeah.
It opens contract opportunities, and it also is free exposure advertisement because the list of certified businesses is available online for free. So a lot of times when bigger employers or bigger businesses are looking to make contracts or have a specific project in mind, they don't know how to find all these businesses that are local.
Right.
So they look to these lists to see, like, if they have a diversity or woman or minority focus or goal attached to the funds that they're receiving. They're like, okay, let me find, where do I find businesses of color? Mm-hmm. And you look on Google, that's not really descriptive enough. So you get your certification so that you can be listed and people contact you. They're like, oh, I'm looking for mental health. You pop up and then you get a lot of referrals from there.
Yeah, which we also connected with Best Self.
Yep, so we joined the, yes.
How about that, huh?
We've been busy. I love it. Right now we're in the process of being added to Best Self Behavior Health's Black Mental Health Team.
Oh.
Which is more of it's like a non-traditional approach to mental health. So it's interesting. So they're using us so we're able to work with the community. And it's free of charge, I believe, to the community. But for us, it gives us exposure, supports our business, but it also gives us a good stream of referrals as well. Mm-hmm.
Well, again, congratulations on that for sure. Let's jump back to our boot camps here. This is some really interesting discussion, and it's revealing because it seems like though we're talking about couples, there are lots of different parts of this that just seem to. I mean, these are things that all of us.
It's self work.
Yes,
really. Mm-hmm. It's all about. You think it's your partner, but it's really you working on you. How do I listen? Am I a good listener?
Right. Yes.
Right. What's my communication style? Can I be assertive or am I more passive aggressive or passive? And then I get mad later because I'm not being heard.
Right.
Those things that you just so you know more about yourself so then you can know what you're looking for in someone else.
Mm-hmm. So communication is a big part of this and it's one of your workshops as well, mm-hmm. right? So, all right. So we've used the plexiglass with the sticky notes on it already. Right. What do we do with the communication? How do you walk people through that?
With communication, we go through different communication styles. So are you a person that talks, or we talk about listening as well. So if you talk, are you talking to get your point across and then you're listening to the other person get their point across? Because some people talk and other people just listen so their turn can come and they're like really defensive, ready to be on defense to argue why this happened.
Oh.
So we also teach that and then they're able to identify where they stand with their communication styles.
And we talk about like the role of the speaker, the role of the listener, and then some like cultural norms. So like we do communication workshops with couples, but we do it for organizations like employees as well. Mm-hmm. And we do some examples. So for example, like because of our cultural norms, if I'm like, oh, I smell my partner or the person next to me's breath is a little stinky, I'm not going to say, ew, your breath is stinky because it's just not appropriate. It's not
sure,
polite, you know?
Sure.
But you might say, hey, would you like a piece of gum? So it's indirect, but you're getting your point across. But it's just things like, it's some things like that that you kind of don't communicate as effectively as we should because of some cultural barriers. Sometimes it's just personality differences, but we're trying to get people to be as assertive as they can so that people don't have to make assumptions about what you mean.
Right.
You say what you mean and mean what you say.
Right. And it also ties in with our conflict resolution. So the way you talk to your partner, what is your goal? What are you looking for when you talk to them? And what are you expecting to receive when they're talking to you?
Conflict resolution is big because everyone experiences conflict. It's normal. But also you want to resolve conflict in a way that you're not having the same fight. If you feel like you're having the same fight over and over again, it's because it's not resolved.
Right.
And people have areas where they're like, yeah, you know, we did argue. I have to keep saying the same thing. It's like, well, it's a communication breakdown. And then also with our conflict resolution workshop. So since I'm a mediator, I infuse some of that into it as well, because sometimes, especially men and women, they process information differently. So sometimes men are more often likely to be straight to the solution. And women are more focused on the emotional process. It's like, you didn't hear what I said. Like, I could solve the problem myself, but you're not listening to how it affected me.
Right.
And then the other partner may be like, who cares? I got you to the solution, you know? So just, we focus on both. I have this visual. It's like a train. You need both train tracks to get through a conflict. Mm-hmm. You can't just only focus on logic and you can't only focus on emotion. So we go through both so that everyone's needs can come out and be addressed in the process. Because sometimes some people just need to be heard.
And
the solution may be, you might have, so maybe we disagree and maybe you get your solution that you wanted, but I feel heard and I feel better. Mm-hmm. And vice versa.
It's interesting as you went into that, because I was thinking about, there's a book, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, a long time ago, but I think it was a big part of it, right? That men are prone or well, I heard your problem and this is how we're going to solve it. And really what the problem is the in this case, the woman just wanted to express the fact that there's a problem less. So some things haven't changed, I guess, is what I'm saying in that regard. That's interesting. But that's still something that people need to be brought to recognize that's going on, that dynamic is going on. Yeah. People aren't aware of that.
Yeah, that's true.
And sometimes when you get comfortable from being with someone over a long period of time, some of the things you would have did when you were dating, you don't do when you feel more secure.
Right.
You know? They see more of you.
Yes, that's true. That's very true. Okay, so we've got conflict resolution. This is, and again, we kind of dove into this a little bit here or started stepping into it, but let's go into that a little bit more, because I think that it really is, I mean, it's a big thing on so many levels, not just when it comes to couples. It can be used in the workplace. It can be used in a lot of different other places as well. Mm-hmm. So conflict resolution, break it down for us. How you approach explaining this to somebody, and then it's one thing to explain. Like you said, you can be at a seminar and I can tell you about it. But what you do with these workshops, these boot camps, is you help people see it for themselves.
Yeah, so we have a case example, but we also always open it up to see if anyone has a personal example that they want to use.
Right.
And those conversations, people get really invested. It's interesting, but I give a general case example, which it may be, like we said, Adam wants to move out of town, Bella doesn't. And then we go through, like, how do we generate options that can be beneficial to Bella and options that can be beneficial to Adam? And then is there any overlap? But we don't start off with just eliminating bad ideas, because there are no bad ideas. That's what I tell people. Because a bad idea, in quotes, can get you to a good idea.
Okay.
So sometimes it's like, no, that's dumb. No, don't do that. Because, you know, now it also, for your partner, the emotional piece is, now it's like, do you think I'm dumb? Or should I not say I have an idea when I'm not sure if I should share it? So you don't want to have that in this idea generating stage. So we start with that, as many options as we can generate. And then that's when we evaluate, okay, which ones are beneficial for both of them? Because sometimes with conflict, people think that, or at least when they present their problems in the groups, they think that Adam moving out of town and Bella not moving out of town is mutually exclusive. But it's usually not. There's usually some area where you can, when you get down to there, that's just their position on the outside. But the reasons why they, you know, feel the way they feel, when you dig into that, they're like, oh, okay, Bella just wants to be closer to family. She has family near Adam's family out of town. So those things. But if you don't get to that, the underlying concerns, you'll be like, oh, we don't agree. And now it's a whole big situation, when it could be, it's not mutually exclusive. They can come close together. It's a great area that can benefit both of you. But you have to do all of the work to get there.
Yeah. It's digging deep in that communication.
Right.
So you need to just say, you know, I am being here. I feel lonely. I feel, you know, isolated.
Vulnerability.
Yeah. Vulnerability plays a huge role in every part of the boot camp. But once we give them the verbiage, because we do a
emotions wheel
that
an
covers,
emotions wheel.
Yes. And with that, like, we say, oh, I'm mad, or I'm sad, or I'm hurt. But then there's other words, like
more descriptive, more effective. Like, when we're socialized as young kids, you're like, okay, the core emotions are happy, sad, you know, mad.
Happy, sad, mad.
Yeah,
that's about it.
And it's funny, her my granddaughter, her daughter says, oh, look it, she's mad if she see a picture. Or she's like, oh, she's sad. So she does, and it's so funny with the emotion wheel. She doesn't even know the other emotions.
Yeah. But you learn it so early that it's ingrained in you. So you're like, if someone says they're mad, you're like, oh, I'm angry, I'm mad. But what does that really mean? What does it look like? And when you can pinpoint and get more descriptive in what you're really feeling, then your partner can show up for you in a way that's appropriate. So, for example, I say that mad anger is like a gateway to your true emotion, rather than it really being an emotion. Because when you say I'm angry, when you dig deeper into it, you may be, I'm feeling hurt, I'm feeling
embarrassed,
threatened. And when someone says, like, if I come to you and I say I'm feeling embarrassed, that's, you can show up to me differently to eliminate what made you feel embarrassed in the follow-up questions, versus if I say I'm mad. Because when I say I'm mad, you might be like, oh, you know, I'm going to give you some space.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. So the separating the emotions and understanding them are different. That is an interesting point there, because, you know, you get mad maybe because, like you said, you're embarrassed.
It's a reaction, I feel like, more than a true emotion.
Right. And I'm curious also, as the facilitators of these workshops, do you have to try to lead people a little bit more, like, you know, they're going back and forth maybe, and you can say, you know, what I hear you saying is this, and maybe you are not hearing this. I mean, do you have to kind of lead that? Or do you think it's self-realization? Usually these things kind of work themselves out.
Sometimes we ask questions.
Okay.
So, for example, I don't remember what the topic was, but the one partner shared, like, I would love for you to do this for me every day. If I'm having a bad day, this makes me feel better. And I said, okay, ask your partner, does that activity make them feel better when they're having a bad day? And when they did, the other partner said no. So, you know, you look at what fills my cup, but you have to know what fills your partner's cup too. Obviously, you're going to have to do things for each other that is not always, you know, exactly what I want to do, and vice versa. But if you think that you're filling up your cup, but it's really taken out of their cup, you want to just be mindful of, like, this works for me. This makes me feel better after a long day, but doesn't for them. It kind of is another thing on their list. Right. So that's not fair, because I'm feeling better and now they just feel like more tired.
Right. I could see that. Definitely. It's Friday. It's time for me to kick back. Might put on a little more pressure on someone to help you kick back, right? Yeah, I could see that. Curious about also how you gauge success in these workshops. How do you look at it?
Well, I think whatever they get out of it is their success makes us feel like they've learned something. Okay. So we do a pre-survey and a post-survey. So we compare those to see if they gained anything out of it and if we need to change something, because maybe we didn't address issues that would have been more beneficial to them. But I think our success is normally from their feedback or their interaction. So if we start off and it's like only one of the members of the couple that's really talking, and by the time we get to the end of it, they're both participating, they're both asking questions, I feel like we've made a breakthrough.
I agree. I think it's engagement and then seeing that they're having these tough conversations, because we're not invested in the outcome of your relationship. We're invested in you two as individuals as you work together in this intimate relationship. So we want you to feel like you learn more about yourself, you learn more about your partner. And some of that comes out in just our interactions with them and the things that they share, how they communicate, even in the group setting. And then, like she said, the pre and post test, we do it before the first group session and after, about those topics that we cover. And then we do it again on the second group session, so that we can see, you know, was it beneficial? Do you feel like you learned anything? That's the one thing. Did you learn anything new?
Right.
Whether it's from our presentation or it's from your interaction from the exercises that we did. That is a victory for us, because we want you to feel like you learn more about yourself or your partner, and just you gain some tools. And we give them tools from each workshop so that they can have, we talked about things, but this is how it actually, you can do it in your real life. And they get to keep those so that they can apply them in their life as they go on.
We say go into your toolkit. So we give them a toolkit with their paperwork telling them, you know, these are things that you agreed to do in your relationship. And a lot of times, like creating date night, creating a ritual, like when you leave, maybe saying, I love you, or give a kiss, or just saying, bye, I'm leaving, compared to just walking out. You know, we pretty much, whatever they say they want, we just reinforce it in their toolkit.
Okay. All right. I'm back to the partner who's not talking that much at the beginning of things. Is it pretty universal that by the time these workshops are done that most everybody's talking at a pretty good rate?
Yeah. People are open by then. Like, we do three workshops in the first group session. The first workshop, you know, people may be a little more quiet. By the second hour, they're more open, they're sharing more, because some of the activities are discussed this with your partner. I put music on so that the people don't feel like, oh, everyone's listening.
Right, it's a good idea.
And then they can report, you know, how did that feel? Did you learn anything? And it's not about what you learned. It's just like, did you learn something? But by the second group, it's like, share, you know, what did you gain from this? And it's more open. People tend to be more open because it's so vulnerable and intimate, because the groups are small, that they feel like they met each other. They see each other.
Right. And when someone shares something related to the other couple, they'll give feedback to another couple. They're like, oh yeah, we used to be like that, but now. So it does open up that line of communication.
Do some of the couples connect? I mean, are there connections building during these sessions, do you see?
They connect while they're there. I don't know if afterwards when
they're walking out and becoming friends, right, and taking vacations together and stuff like that necessarily.
I mean, hopefully, as we do more and more and we have a bigger base of our people that went through our boot camp, then maybe it may evolve into a bigger platform in that way. Right. But right now, it's like you see other people in relationships that are trying. Mm-hmm. And I think that provides comfort too, because sometimes if you're the only person in your circle who's in a relationship, it can be like, I don't really have people to turn to or role models or, you know, not even to tell you step by step, but like my friends, I'm the only person in a relationship. So I don't know.
We actually had that in our first boot camp. And I think a little bit in this one, they said, you know, I've never seen, growing up, I didn't see a lot of positive marriages in my family. So they didn't know what to actually give their partner.
Or what to expect.
Yes.
What they're looking for.
Right. They really didn't know. And as far as the intimacy part, saying I love you, we had people say, you know, growing up, people didn't tell me that they love me. So it's hard for me to tell other people. So for me, it's been a lot of breakthrough. And it's been like, wow, this is really amazing, because people have reached back to us from our initial one and said, you know, thank you so much. I'm still working with the tools you gave us.
Or some people, they transition from the boot camp into long-term counseling with us. Mm-hmm. So we really designed the boot camp to get your foot wet. If you're like, I want to do counseling, but it's a lot of stigma with it. So if they're like, I'm not really sure if this is something that we both want to do, you do the boot camp for a month. If that was enough for you for now, good. If you're like, hey, I loved working with you guys and we still have so much more work to do, they come and they come see us as couples after.
And how do you send off couples when it's all said and done? Do you have it's not a graduation or anything like that? I
mean, we do.
You have a graduation?
We do. If you survive the four weeks.
If you survive, that's not really great marketing there.
It's intense. I tell people, like, it's intense. Like, all it's right. Not just like, oh, it's a passive thing. Like, I signed up for this and then I'm not, like, engaging. Like, no, it's hands-on. Everything is hands-on. Mm-hmm. So once you finish to the fourth week, I'm like, it's something to celebrate, to show that you complete this investment together. Mm-hmm. And that shows that you can work together and have these hard conversations. So now, hopefully, you don't have to have these same conversations again, because you should have some resolve.
Right.
There's other things going on. We mentioned earlier, of course, about your certified minority and women-owned business, the certification of that, of course. That's great news. Deja, honored by Business First as one of the 30 under 30 leaders here in Western New York. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
LaShawn, what do you think about that?
I'm just very impressed by everything that Deja has been doing.
Yeah?
Yes. Although I'm her mom and I'm older than her, she is a inspiration. And as I say, when I go places, you know, I'm so much older than her, people will say, oh, you know Deja. I'm like, yep, I know her. Very proud.
I'm a product of all the work that she put into me as a child, even social work. She's a social worker, so that shaped my perspective of the world and what I wanted to do as an adult.
Curious about how that recognition is in one of the 30 under 30. Finding doors opening for you?
Yeah, people reach out to me that I've never met before, send me cards, and like, you know, people want to connect and like, see, what do you want to do? Like, what are you doing next? So many questions. So for me, I was excited that I got it, but I'm also like, wow, this is actually launching me, like my professional brand, in a way that I'm glad to see, and I'm glad to see where it takes me. I don't have all the answers yet, but I'm open to seeing the opportunities and how I can grow.
So they stole my question. So what is next for Walking Through Solutions? What's on the horizon here?
We're working on a collaboration with Chef Erin Hunt. She is a private chef, but she also does catering events and things too, but she is a private chef. So we want to curate these networking mixers for people. We got a lot of feedback that single people wanted stuff from us as well.
Oh, really?
They're like, we love this. How do I find a partner? So we're going to be having at the end of summer, and you can follow us on LinkedIn or Facebook or reach out to us on our website for the details, and I'll release the flyer once it's publicly available. But we're going to be having like mixing with a purpose.
Mixing with a purpose. Mm-hmm. So the idea is to connect with perhaps a partner of some regard, maybe, or maybe just friends.
Our role in it is obviously to create that environment, but it's also to facilitate these conversations. Like we said, with the couples boot camp, a lot of it is self-work. Mm-hmm. So when, how can I get myself ready and open to receive love if it comes to me? Because sometimes people are like, oh, well, when I get in a relationship, then I'll work on it.
You got to work on it before.
They're going to get what you have right now, you know? Right. So, and then what is appropriate conversation? How can you be intentional about building a deeper connection with people when you cross paths? Right. So how do you have those conversations? What's essential to know? How do you know if you're in alignment, if this is a good fit, or should I even waste my time? Those sort of things. But we want to curate it in a way that it's people that are intentional about wanting a relationship. And then also with Chef Erin Hunt, she's a private chef. So like people, you know, right. food is always a nice way to break the ice. And then she's great. So you have this high class experience while having these, you know, interesting.
Did you have a model that you were basing this on, or is this something you created on your own?
We just created it.
With the collaboration of everything that's coming to us, as far as when we did the boot camp, people reaching out for information on fixing themselves.
Sure.
So with the tools, we talk about the childhood trauma, and with Chef Erin Hunt, she was like, oh, I have this elaborate space and I have these elaborate meals. So we're like, oh, we can work together on this.
So yeah, I've been to her events because we've been longtime friends at the Plating Society. So it's very nice. It's a very intimate setting. It's mm-hmm. very nice, high end. And then she does these pop-up events where she's like cooking and like engaging, and people love it. And so me and my friends went to a few and we're like, okay, how can we collaborate and do this? Mm-hmm. But we also, as we talked about with it being National Men's Mental Health Month, some of our events, like we did a Women's Month event, but we want to create this space for men and women. And sometimes it's harder to engage men from us as women.
Right.
Women are like, yes, let's do this. Right. And men are like, why would we do that?
Right. Yeah, I can appreciate that. Definitely, I can sit in that corner. So, and during the event, you anticipate maybe utilizing some of these techniques that you've used in boot camp as well?
Yeah, so it's going to be the hands-on exercises will be different, obviously, just because it's one person. But the stuff that we talk about, these are things that you can get more intentional about doing. So naming your emotion, recognizing your emotions. Mm-hmm. What are your triggers? What are your deal breakers?
Right. What is your love language?
And love language, yeah.
What is your trauma that you had growing up? Those are things that help you identify what do you have to offer someone else.
And you bring that bag with you. That's what you say. It's a bag. You bring it with you to every relationship.
Right.
So do you want to unpack some things now? Or do you want to wait until you're in a relationship to unpack it?
Right.
Because then you're going to have new things coming in.
Right. Right.
And I'd also think that if as these things come out in this setting, that might open up connections with the people that are in the room, right? I mean, you know, oh, I like this, or I didn't like that. Or I would have to think that's part of it as well.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Well, that's really ambitious. Also, speaking of ambitious, Deja named a distinguished alumni of the UB School of Social Work.
Yes.
Congratulations on that as well.
Thank you.
How does that come about? What comes with that, if you don't mind me asking?
I believe my mom, LaShawn, recommended me. She received a distinguished alumni award 2 years ago.
Yes. Yes.
And then my category, I got it for being a JDMSW dual degree graduate. And that pool of people is small as you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a great program, and they created this category for dual degree students because some of our jobs don't always align with a traditional social worker trajectory. So like when you look at these distinguished alumni criteria, you're like, oh, I do great things, but I'm not necessarily checking these boxes because I do, you know, something that may be more
focused,
either law focused, more policy focused, you know. So now I kind of do both, and it was like a great time. And they called me, they said, yeah, you got it. And they had a nice award ceremony. I was able to speak to their highest distinguished students, and so I was giving them some tips on things that I've learned since graduating on how to build myself, build my brand, and like use different spaces from like that lawyers or like the law environment kind of teaches you that the social work school doesn't always, you know, prioritize.
Right.
So just like, how can you leverage social media, LinkedIn? How can you see other jobs? Because there are a lot of jobs that social workers are qualified for, but they don't think that they are.
Yeah, I was going to say that's interesting about what you're talking about there and your experience. You're bringing together a couple of different types of academic achievements, or for lack of a better term, Did you have an idea of where all this was going to go? Or is it just, are you open to just the idea that you know that there's something else out there and it's worth it continuing to see what's next?
Yeah, I'm open. I think I'm in a weird space because I don't have a lot of people who have like the same background.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So I'm intentional about connecting with people all across the world that have a JD MSW. So I can see like, what are they doing? Like, mm-hmm. how did they get there? Oh, I didn't know like that you can do this or that this was even within my reach. So I'm intentional about that. But I also, in Walking Through Solutions, I do more traditional social work things, but I'm also able to do a lot of, the mediation stuff that I learned in law school. Also like the contract piece, how to negotiate contracts. Because as a small business owner, these are things that you have to do, but you may not necessarily have a business background or business mind. So it's just been helpful in that way. So I'm interested, at least for me, to see what's next, because there are unique opportunities that come my way just because of my different backgrounds.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm excited to see what's next for me.
Right.
You know, LaShawn, as I listen to Deja talking, I mean, how did she get all this stuff done by the time she was 30?
Yeah, before, yeah.
I'm saying, I got 2 more years left.
Right.
She's always been dedicated and a hard worker, even in high school and grammar school. Like, she was 2 years old, and I used to be like, if she got a puzzle that she did over and over again, she would turn it over and do it from the back without seeing the picture. And I used to be like, ooh, that girl is different, because she didn't get it from me. I don't think she got it from her dad either. So she was just born that way. And she's really hardworking. Like, every job she gets, she'll make sure she's getting it done. And she's like, oh, I got this deadline, I got that deadline, which is great. Where me, on the other hand, I write down what I'm going to do and what I'm capable of doing, and I work through it. And she always challenges herself.
Wow.
But my mom, too, she supported me to find my voice. And I'm not, like, a disruptor, but I do question, like, systems. Even, like, in high school, like, I wanted to transfer out. I went to a great school. I didn't like it. Academically, I did well, but I didn't like the environment. And I said, hey, I don't want to go here. Like, can I go to a regular school or a different school? And our family, like, can we let her leave this, like, high-performing school? Like, what could the future hold for her? Would that mess her up for college? You know, et cetera, et cetera. And she stood behind me and said, this is what she wants. She's been advocating for this for a long time. For her, I think this would be better for her. She'll be happier. And she supported me in that. And I think that exposure to, like, not just high-functioning, elite, smart kids. I was able to be with all different type of people. I mean, I wasn't so isolated just because in that school, I'm just like, it's only a few of people that look like me there. And just, you know, finding my voice, my roots, who I am. That was, like, the start of, like, oh, okay, I survived this new environment. What do I want to do? It just opened my mind to, like, I don't have to do what looks good all the time. Mm-hmm. I want to do what is actually beneficial to me and aligns with what my passions are.
Right, right. Yeah, because in high school, it was her junior year, and I was like, do I let her leave? And when she was there, she was doing good academically, but her personality, she was like...
I was exhausted.
Yes. But when she went to the new school, she graduated a year early. They was like, well, you know, we can't give her any more classes. She's excelled higher than we have. So she graduated a year early. All throughout college, she was a 4.0 student. She got to grad school, and a lot of people doubted her. And she stayed 4.0. She went to law school. I cannot believe that people, I don't know why, but she's always had a strong, opinionated personality.
I'm an assertive person, I think. And I
don't know about that.
I would, like, so for me, like, if it's something that I'm like, oh, like, I feel like that was inappropriate. Like, I don't know. I say things not in a rude way, but if it's something that I notice, I sometimes say that.
Right. And it works well for social work because she does find a solution. She does help you get on track instead of people have a lot of fluff to cover up what the real problem is. And she, I guess this is the law. She'll see it and say, so what you're saying is.
You know what? I just came up with a great idea for you guys. Another one.
Okay.
You should have a parent-child boot camp.
Oh, yeah.
Right. That would be
How
great.
About that?
Yeah, that would be excellent.
Especially teenagers.
Yes.
Teenagers age 16 who are looking to change directions or mm-hmm. do something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a good idea.
That is.
We got to give you credit when we do this.
If you think it's a great idea, I think it's got a chance.
Right.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's always great talking to you. Thanks for coming in. Again, if somebody wants to find out more about future events or boot camps, what's the best way?
You can follow us on Facebook. We post everything that we're doing. If we're popping up at a table and if we're, you know, collaborating on an event, if you have any events that we're hosting coming up, we post it all on Facebook. You can connect with us on LinkedIn as well. You can connect Walking Through Solutions, LLC. That's our name on Facebook and LinkedIn. We have our website, www.walkingthroughsolutions.org. We have that. And then you can also follow us or connect with us on LinkedIn as well, Deja Middlebrook or LaShawn Davis, and you'll see our stuff as well.
Excellent. Deja Middlebrook and LaShawn Davis from Walking Through Solutions. As always, thanks for being with us on What's Next.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you so much.
This has been What's Next on WBFO.